Okay, great. Thank you so much for being here, by the way. So, hi again, everybody. My name is Mona Warner, and I'm here tonight to talk about Ayurveda's three pillars of health, Trayopastamba. My interest in the three pillars of health stems from a few things. First, I'm aware through my yogic background, so not only am I a certified Ayurvedic practitioner through Nama, I'm also a yoga teacher trainer, and Ayurvedic yoga therapist. And one of the things I'm aware of is that the Vedic sciences are filled with maps, maps of consciousness, maps of ways of increasing and building our consciousness, maps for health, maps for well-being, maps for curing disease. These Vedic sciences are absolutely amazing and filled with maps. And I love that about the Vedic sciences. I find any question, concern, or doubt that arises in my mind, there's a map somewhere in the Vedic sciences to support my ability to find answers and to grow into more and more Vedic science. So from an Ayurvedic perspective, when I started my exploration of Ayurveda, I loved it. I fell in love at first sight. I have an interesting health background. I think most people who are drawn to health sciences dive into that approach and dive into these teachings from a place of healing thyself. And then as a result of their experience, if it's powerful for them, then they want to share the teachings and share the magic, share the health, share the healing outward. And that was definitely the case with me. And so one of the things I noticed, both for myself as well as for clients, once I eventually got to the place of seeing clients, was that the map of the doshas could sometimes cause as much confusion as it did have benefits. And as we all know, working with the mind is so important when we're working from an Ayurvedic perspective. We recognize all the koshas and the importance of all the koshas. And so as I worked with clients, what I noticed was people tended to learn just enough about doshas to get into trouble, but not always enough to get back out of trouble. And I believe that this concept of dosha is not something that is innate in our Western culture, at least not mine. So as a Canadian, born and bred, raised in Canada, the concept of dosha was only introduced to me when I started to learn about Ayurveda. And so away I went, working with clients, doing the best I could to refine my own understanding and my explanation of doshas and these different Ayurvedic concepts. And as I worked and worked and worked with clients, I started to notice this other pattern emerge. I started to notice that when we work with clients, there are certain things that we're always asking about, looking into, and working to support. So the main example is Agni. Whether somebody is Vata, Pitta, or Kapha, we are always asking about Agni, finding out about hunger, noticing how digestion is going. We're always asking about the mulas. Are you pooping every day? Are you urinating every day? Are you sweating every day? How is that going? Is there ease in this? Is there not? How is sleep? Are you sleeping? How are you sleeping? Are you waking feeling rested? Are you not? And then, of course, how do you spend your time? What do you do? When do you wake up? When do you go to bed? When do you eat? What is your work? Is it fulfilling? So I started to notice that in our process of inquiry, as we get to know and work with our clients, this other series of concepts, all very Ayurvedic, started to emerge for me. And it could very well be that because I'm newer to Ayurveda in the sense that I didn't grow up with Ayurveda as part of my life, it's something I discovered in my adulthood and pursued as an adult, all of a sudden I started to see this other map reveal itself. And then one day as I was studying for my Ayurvedic practitioner exam, it came up in the Chataka, the Trayopastamba, the three pillars of health. And I thought to myself, these three pillars, so we have the first pillar, which is known as ahara, nourishment. And what is nourishment for us? How do we know somebody's getting nourishment from an Ayurvedic perspective? Well, can they digest what they consume, whether it be food or emotions or experiences or energy? Well, that has to do with Agni. And then from Agni, if our Agni is strong, then we're not producing ama, which is good. We know ama is one of the root causes of disease. But if our Agni is not strong, then ama is produced and disease ensues. And why do we want this strong Agni and this nourishment? Well, so we can build dhatus and srotasas, so we can build tissues and channels. And then flowing through these tissues and channel systems, we have the malas, our waste products. And this is where we can check in with how are our daily bowel movements? Are we urinating? Are we sweating every day? And I thought, wow, all of those incredible Ayurvedic concepts fit under this first pillar of health known as nourishment. And then the second pillar, nidra, sleep. I feel like that's one of the easiest concepts for North Americans to understand from a health perspective. That if we sleep well, our tissues develop well, our body's able to clear metabolic wastes, we can reset baseline, so homeostasis tends to be reestablished. Our mind works better, our memory works better, not only in terms of imprinting into memory, but also recalling from memory. Wow, I feel like the people I work with are really going to understand this. And then our third pillar, brahmacharya, and there are so many different ways that brahmacharya gets translated, so many different ways. From a yogic perspective, we're looking at the idea of celibacy in order to maintain and retain our energies and vital essences to move them towards the pursuit of enlightenment. And then from a health perspective, we could look at it as a management and an awareness of all our vital essences, of working with prana, tejas, and ojas all together. Because these three vital essences are what create, again, prana, the animating life energy, giving us aliveness to pursue and fulfill our purpose. We think of the tejas that allows us to work with the inner fire with discernment and with brilliance, radiance, being illuminated in our minds and in our actions. And then ojas, this essence of immunity and resistance, resilience, bala. And I thought to myself, wow, I feel like this map of the three pillars of health, this idea of nourishment through strong digestion, reducing the metabolic waste, building quality tissues, and eliminating wastes properly, I think people who maybe don't understand doshas can understand this. I think that those of us who are North American definitely understands sleep. And then as it comes to the three vital essences, it's been my experience that explaining the daily routine through the maintenance of the vital essences, of our aliveness, of our brilliance and illumination, of our ojas, our immunity, it is a very straightforward map for somebody who's very new to Ayurveda to understand. And I believe that provides us as practitioners with another really great tool in our toolbox to introduce those to Ayurveda who are maybe very new to Ayurveda. The other thing I noticed from my own experience of clients is I have some clients who would come and see me as an Ayurvedic practitioner after they had tried this and after they had tried that, and they had been to see this practitioner and been to see that practitioner. And so when they landed on my doorstep, there were a lot, they had already done a lot of work in terms of working through their own health, working through their own systems, and developing awareness and understanding of their own being. And there are also folks who show up on my doorstep. It was the first time that they were really sick or the first time that they noticed something was not okay in their system. They were very new to the exploration of health. And so introducing them to this idea of three pillars and being able to look at their own life, look at their own behavior, look at their own choices through the lens of the three pillars brought along this other piece that I love, which I like to think of as the medicine of simplicity. It's a simple enough map that even those who are very new to health and well-being can navigate it skillfully. They can navigate that map skillfully. And if they do get a little lost along the way, they can look at this idea of the three pillars, nourishment and digestion, sleep, as well as daily routine and lifestyle. How am I managing my energies, my vital essences? And they can very quickly start to navigate on their own what is out of balance, what can use support, and then they can use myself or any other practitioner as a way of refining how they support their pillars of health. So I found the discovery of this map to be incredibly helpful to support my clients, especially the ones who are new to Ayurveda and who maybe are not as accustomed to more esoteric concepts. I felt like three pillars of health really grounds Ayurvedic practice in a format, in a framework that is easy to navigate, easy to apply, easy to understand. And not that it's all about things being easy. However, one of the struggles that I found originally was because people didn't understand the doshas very well, they also didn't understand how to respond when something went sideways. They always needed me there to help them navigate their own health and well-being. And one of my intentions as a practitioner and as a teacher is to offer people tools that allow them a certain amount of autonomy and a certain amount of independence so that they can really embrace and become responsible for their own health and well-being, for their own practices. I found the three pillars of health map was incredibly useful for that. And the irony of the three pillars of health map is if we follow along this map of the three pillars of health, which are basically all the practices that we offer as Ayurvedic practitioners and health counselors and Ayurvedic yoga therapists, we are talking to people about their nourishment. What are you consuming? Are you digesting it? Is it omogenic? Is it not? How are your tissues developing? How are your channels? Is everything flowing? Do we have stagnation? How are the malas? Are we eliminating the waste? How are you sleeping? How are you spending your time? What does your daily routine look like? We were doing that anyways. It's not actually adding anything different. It's simply giving folks who are new to the practice of Ayurveda a way of looking at this map, a way of looking at the practices in a slightly different context that brings about a certain simplicity. Again, the big irony, as we follow the three pillars, we shore up, we stabilize, and we build the three pillars of health, our doshas find balance. And eventually, when we get to the concept of dosha, now that people understand the importance of Agni, the importance of reducing Ama, the importance of building quality tissues, the importance of eliminating waste in the proper amounts at the proper time, the importance of a good restorative night's sleep, the importance of a consistency of daily routine in order to maintain our vital essences of prana, tejas, and ojas. As they learn and discover through this map, they start to see what happens when things are balanced and things are out of balance. They start to understand the concept of prakriti and vikriti. And the more they understand prakriti and vikriti, the easier it is for them to then start to understand the concept of dosha. Through shoring up the pillars of health, dosha reveals itself. And because people now have had an opportunity to explore their health, their well-being, their digestion, their sleep, their bowel movements, their daily routine, all of a sudden we can add this layer of dosha, and it integrates really well because they understand what health looks like, and so they can then understand what this blemish, this dosha also looks like. And so it was my experience, as much as I worked really hard to lead with dosha as the map in Ayurveda, this map of Ahara, Nidra, and Brahmacharya really stood out to me as we were already doing that. And perhaps, not saying that this is the way to go, I'm simply suggesting or offering that for those who are really struggling with an understanding of doshas and how they work and how they interconnect, how they interplay, dosha is complex. There's a lot to know. And so we can always look through our classical texts for these other brilliant maps to support us in supporting our clients in doing what Ayurveda does, which is maintaining the health of the healthy person, supporting people to find happiness and reduce their suffering. I love that in the Vedic sciences, there are so many ways that we can accomplish this task. And I wanted tonight to bring to the forefront this idea of the three pillars as an option and opportunity for us to move forward in educating folks, especially folks who maybe, I know I came to Ayurveda with some background in yoga, so the Sanskrit didn't intimidate me, and I was actually very keen to learn more about a sister science. But not everybody falls in that boat. Not everybody has any sort of background, and not everybody has the desire to learn a different language in order to find health. So I found with the three pillars, it created an opportunity to access a different group of folks and to bring Ayurveda in a way that was a little bit simpler, a little bit simpler. I've also found that with the three pillars of health, we can continue to educate and support our clients, students, and family members in understanding some of the, again, basic principles of the practice. We can talk about the gunas, the Vimshati gunas, in terms of the language of Ayurveda. We can use the three pillars to help people understand the different koshas, the different layers of being, understanding that it's not just about your biology. It's not just about your body. Yes, you have a body. You have this Anamaya kosha, and you desire it to be healthy. Noble, excellent goal. And we have these other koshas as well. And the three pillars is so fascinating how those teachings apply through all the koshas. When we're talking about Ahara, this idea of nourishment and the strength of Agni, and if Agni is weakened or if Agni is strained, we can end up with Ama in our system. This not only happens in our biology, but this happens in our prana, in the pranamaya kosha. It happens in the emotions, in the manomaya kosha. It happens in the mind, the vijnanamaya kosha. And so we can use these simple concepts of the three pillars not only to help guide people towards health, to also help support people in their understanding of how multidimensional they are and how multidimensional health is. When we think about things like brahmacharya and the maintenance of the vital essences, right away that starts to carry us through more koshas than the physical body. It's about far more than your biology. It is about the pranamaya kosha. It is about manomaya kosha. It is about vijnanamaya kosha and nandamaya kosha. It is about all of these things, which then also allows us to introduce the concept of purusha, this drop of divine essence that exists within each of us and is the magnet that pulled together the five elements that ends up becoming our dosha, all in service of our dharma, of our purpose. And so we we get through these three pillars, the opportunity to continue layering all the amazing concepts, all the amazing teachings of Ayurveda. Whether we choose to look at the doshas, whether we choose to look at the three pillars of health or any other map provided to us in the Ayurvedya, we can still talk about our causative factors of disease. And so we can continue with the conversation about Pranya Parad. We can continue the conversation about Asatmiendriya, Asta Samyoga, this misuse of the sense organs in Parinama change over time. And so we're still having conversations about the mind, Pranya Parada, the misuse of the intellect. And this leads us right into talking about the mahagunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas, and how these different energies or lenses of the mind affect our ability to take action in the direction of supporting our pillars of health. So all of these different teachings continue to interweave and interconnect. It's simply another portal, another doorway, another opportunity for exploration. I also find that one of the key pieces in terms of working with clients and students is choice. Are we going to choose our health or are we going to choose something else? And again, this ties into sattva, rajas, tamas. This ties into our causative factors of disease. This ties into so many things, including whether or not our clients end up feeling successful with their practices. So this map of the three pillars of health, I believe, enables folks to be able to really see and start to understand the karma, the effects of their actions. And in, again, three pretty simple categories of practice: nourishment or digestion, sleep, and daily routine. So, yeah. I know it ended up being a little bit shortened because I'm aware that we started late, so I kind of tried to squeeze everything in because I wanted to make sure to leave ample opportunity for people to ask their questions, all while honoring the time commitment that people would have scheduled for this. So, Prem, if it's okay with you, I'm good to take questions if anybody has any.
Hi, Mona, this is Sri, the moderator for the evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening. So we can open the floor for questions, but if you have another 5 to 7 minutes, if you want to go ahead and talk a little bit more.
Sure.
And share
anything
that
that's
you might
great.
Have missed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Really Thank you
that.
So much. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would add that this map revealed itself to me in my ongoing effort to meet my clients and students where they are. And I feel like that's a lesson that I learned through teaching yoga, and I'm so grateful that it's a lesson I got to learn, that I got to bring with me into my Ayurvedic practice. And that's where this map, that's where my idea of this map of three pillars of health was born. Is this, we have our ideas about what our practices are and what they need to look like and where we hope our clients can move to. I know as practitioners, we can see the potential for health and the potential trajectory for all of our clients. And yet, I've learned, and I'm sure all of you have had this experience as well, that I can't want a client's health more than they do. I can't want them to succeed or move forward more than they want that for themselves. And what I found was for a lot of the folks I was working with, and again, I live in a smaller community in Canada, so there wasn't a lot of exposure to Ayurveda here. As people got confused or unsure, their willpower to make healthy choices started to wax and wane. kind of like the moon and the tides, it started to get a little bit wobbly. And what I wanted to do is offer them an opportunity to empower themselves through their choices and meet them where they were. As much as we may want great grand things for our clients, they have to want it more because it's their actions that matter. It's their choices that matter. They are the ones that have the opportunity moment to moment to check in with themselves and make a health-promoting choice or to make a health-demoting choice. And they have to want it more than we do. We have to meet them where they are. And where we can offer maps and opportunities that are simple and that feel accessible and doable, I believe we increase the likelihood of success for our clients. And that is something that has been really important for me as a person and as a practitioner. My first naturopathic doctor was somebody who really empowered me with choice. And she would say to me over and over again, Mona, it's your choice. You can do this or you cannot do this. If you don't do it, nothing will change. If you do it, we will see what happens. And I really appreciated that. She is somebody that I hold in such high regards and with so much love. Dr. Christina, if you ever get to hear this, I love you and thank you. She helped me to find my way through so many challenges with her patience, her compassion, but also by meeting me where I was. When I was vulnerable, she held me in that vulnerable place. When I was willing, she helped motivate me in the direction of my health. And it's through that that I was able to eventually find Ayurveda, which was the cherry on top of my sundae. I had hit so many plateaus with the other things I was trying. I didn't ever seem to be able to quite get back my strength and my stamina, my endurance and my capacity. It's like I couldn't hold on to the ojas I was building. And then I fell into Ayurveda. And wow, what a difference. And so my intention is to share this amazing health science with as many people as are willing and interested. And yet, they have to want their health more than I want it for them. And what I can do on my part is provide them with a way of seeing Ayurveda, a way of approaching Ayurveda that feels accessible, that feels doable, that feels empowering to them. And so the three pillars of health, ahara, nidra, brahmacharya. And I have found that since I've been teaching my students and my clients through this lens, they have just grabbed it and run. They have made so much progress, have found so much ease, and as a result, so much health through this map. I am ever grateful to these teachings for revealing themselves, but also really honored to be able to share them with those who land on my doorstep. So I think that's all I need to add.
Thank you, Mona. Thank you for that. I think the floor is open for questions. So if anyone wants to go ahead and ask the question, please.
I have a question. This is Steve. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Yes, please.
Hi, Steve.
Okay. Hi there. I would like to know about these three topics, like brahmacharya. Do you have any things that are really helpful to you in guiding people or some secrets or things that weren't obvious to begin with? I know everybody you deal with is different, but I was wondering if there's anything you could share on that, because I could see that could, depending on the individual, could be difficult to handle or difficult to come up with an approach.
Absolutely. I think that's such a great question. Thank you for asking it. In my experience, all the recommendations I offer my clients are done through conversation. And so we start with them talking about their lives and their health goals, and then we sort of get to the part where I say, okay, I'm going to offer you some options, and then you can let me know what makes sense. When it comes to brahmacharya, I tend to look at what I call the key five things. And those are, what time do you get up? What are your three meal times? And what time do you go to bed? And I feel like if we can stabilize, because the idea of daily routine is to create stability within the system so that it can optimize its own function and healing. Where the daily routine is chaotic and mobile or erratic, then the body, the biology gets really uncertain about when to do what. Oh, is it time for hunger to arise or is it time for sleep? I'm not sure because yesterday was different than the day before. So I tend to explain to my clients the importance of stability, and then I ask them, which of these five things do you feel like you could stabilize? Can we work on a wake time and a set sleep time? Can we work on a window of eating? So when would breakfast be? When would lunch be? When would dinner be? Most of the time. So we're not looking for perfection in the practice. So I find I look at wake time, sleep time, and then meal time. And if we can, even if somebody says, well, I think I can eat lunch at the same time every day, I say, great, let's start there. Because if they stabilize that one thing and it works for them, they will suddenly be open to stabilizing other things. They will be open to creating more routine around those key components of Agni, Ama, Dhatu, Mala, Nidra, and their vital essences of Prana, Tejas, and Ojas. So that's where I tend to start the conversation. What do you think? Does that help?
I think that's very helpful. It's a very, you know, approach that makes sense and would be fairly easy to implement for clients I see and for myself included.
And I think one of the key things with sleep, because Nidra being the second pillar of health, it's obviously very, very important. So this bedtime and wake time become important. And I always tell my clients that there's a bit of math we have to do in that, where a lot of clients will say, I go to bed every night at 11, I wake up every morning at 5 and I'm exhausted. And I say, okay, how much sleep do you need? And they say 8 hours. And I say, if we do the math from 11 to 5, you're already short 2 hours, and we haven't factored in the time it takes to fall asleep. And so there's a math piece as well, which is if we want to get up early and we need to say they want to keep the 5 a.m. wake time, that's great. If we do 8 hours of math and we track backwards, we're looking actually at a 9 o'clock bedtime. But if we want to be asleep for 8 hours, we're kind of looking at an 8:30 bedtime.
Wow.
And so I feel like when we have those conversations, people are like, oh, it's a choice I'm making, but I didn't have that awareness. I didn't realize that. And so then I tell them, you can keep going to bed at 11 and getting up at 5, but you will continue to be tired because you're short 2 hours of sleep. Where do we want to make the change in your daily routine to honor the truth of who you are, which is you need 8 hours of sleep? How do we do that? And I let them be part of finding the solution to that. So I give them some guidance, but I definitely want them to be involved in the process because they have to own it. At the end of the day, it's not Mona Warner that's going to be going to bed on time and waking up early for them. They have to do it for themselves. Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the call tonight.
Sure.
Hi, Mona. I have a question, too, if you can hear me.
I love it. Shoot.
Okay, great. This is Shagun, and I'm calling from Berkeley, California. I'm a yoga teacher and Ayurvedic practitioner in training. So first of all, I really like your approach because I think last summer I taught a class on Ayurveda and did everything about the doshas, et cetera, and I still felt like by the end of it, people were more confused than not about where to get started. So when I teach it again, I think it's just so important to lead with the three pillars. And in looking at these pillars, I know you mentioned that you can keep layering things on. I have a small question around how you connected Brahmacharya to Prana and Tejas. And then I have a bigger question around that your model seems to be a little bit more like coaching. Where you work with the practitioner, work with the client and come up with something. Have you ever tried this in a group setting where everyone agrees to work on something that emanates from these three basic pillars at the same time? and how that works for you.
Yeah, so that was a lot. Thank you so much. I do take a bit more of a coaching approach because I'm aware that some people don't respond very well to being told what to do, right? If we think of not to call anyone out, but some of our Pitta folks, if somebody tells them what to do, they might rebel and say, like, I'm not doing that. Don't tell me what to do. And so instead, I want it to be a collaborative exploration. And because in the end, I want the client to own it. I need the client to be more invested in their health than I am. I feel like that what I've learned is this collaborative conversational type approach works really, really well. It might also be a bit more of a North American mindset because I know here in Canada and I've spent a lot of time in the States, done a lot of training in the States. Some of my best friends live in the U.S. We really value freedom, and that means freedom to choose, right? It's the freedom to choose. And so I've found that Ayurveda has so many beautiful options for any situation that somebody has. So if somebody's having issues with sleep, there's not just one way we can help them with sleep. There are many ways we can help them with sleep. And so what I tell my clients is I'm going to give you what is, in my opinion, the number one bang for the buck option. But if you're never going to do it, there's no point in that being the recommendation we write down on your piece of paper. It has to be something you're willing to try. And it might also be something that you need to be comfortable trying. I remember Dr. Rosie giving me a recommendation once, and I had to think about it for 3 years before I was willing to try it. It was something that was very outside of my comfort zone. And although I trusted her, I don't know if maybe I didn't trust myself or I didn't understand enough about Ayurveda to see how it would work. And I remember going back to her 3 years later and saying, Dr. Rosie, I'm ready to do a weekly Bhakti. And she looked at me and said, Mona, I told you to do that 3 years ago. And I said, yeah, but now I'm ready, Dr. Rosie. I did everything else on the list, but now I'm ready for that. So we laughed, and then on I went with my new protocol. So I think the conversation part is really important on a bunch of different levels. And I've used that model in a group, absolutely. I've been for the past few years leading a fall and spring digestive reset. I also teach Ayurvedic components in my 200-hour teacher training, my 300-hour teacher training, as well as facilitating Ayurvedic modules for different yoga therapy trainings. And all of those involve groups of people. And so I've been working with groups teaching this model and in this approach where maybe at the end of a lecture I'll say, so what's everybody's take home and what are you going to do different? What are you going to try for the next 3 weeks or the next month until I see you next? And then people can let me know what they're going to try. And then in the month's time, we check in. How did it work? Did it work for you? Because as much as we know that all these things work for someone somewhere, what if somebody picks the recommendation that doesn't work? That's equally good for them to know, and then let's do something else. So I found that the approach works really well, whether it's one-on-one or in groups. And in groups, it's actually quite fun because there's enough room within this concept of three pillars. Obviously, there are so many concepts involved that everybody can pick something. So that has worked well. And then you also asked about how I looped in prana and tejas as part of Brahmacharya. And it simply arose for me this realization that when it comes to Brahmacharya, whether we're looking at it as celibacy, so this idea of being able to transform energy into a spiritual energy, whether we're looking at Brahmacharya from the perspective of moderation, which is the management of our resources, what are the resources that you have and how do you manage those? And it occurred to me, the resources I have are my prana, tejas, and ojas. My energy is my prana. So one of the resources people talk about the most in terms of being challenged with is I don't have enough energy. I'm tired all the time. I don't have energy for myself to do the things I love. And so prana is one of our resources. It's one of the things we need to take care of. We need to nurture. We need to build. We need to care for. And then the other piece is the tejas, my capacity to be brilliant, bright, illuminating, and radiant. This is another one of our resources, the capacity for discernment and intelligence. All of this connects to the tejas. And then our ojas, our resilience, our strength, our endurance, our immunity. And so it's simply in my head, and it could be, I could be the only one on the whole planet who feels this way. I felt like in the concept of brahmacharya as resource management, as managing our, all the different resources we have, to me, that included all three vital essences. When we really distill it to the seeds, it includes all three. Did I miss
something?
Thank you.
Did I answer
all your questions?
No, you did, and wonderfully so. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and it resonates a lot with me. I also would like to offer that I know you like the word map. The word I've had in my mind all along as I've been trying to figure out how to best present Ayurveda is frameworks, and that might have to do with my business education, but I do think the three pillars are like the ultimate framework to start with, and then you keep layering things on. So this was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Does anyone else have any other questions?
Hi, this is Susan from Tennessee. Hi, how do you navigate the ahara piece without getting into the, as far as food management, and without getting into the details of the Ayurvedic principles of nutrition with your clients?
Oh, I actually use ahara as a way to get into the Ayurvedic principles of nutrition. Everything from food combining to Agni boosting to ama busting herbs to seasonal eating. I use ahara as the doorway into all those concepts. And I present them when the client gives me the indication that they're ready for that download, when they're ready for that layer or level of information. So I might start with, you have this thing called Agni. It's your digestive potential. When your Agni is strong, you digest your food well. When your Agni is not strong, or when your Agni is out of balance, you produce this metabolic waste called ama, and it causes clogs in your pipes, and that gets you into trouble. So we might start with that sort of simplicity and then talk about the different, you know, if you focus on your food, chew your food well, use these digestive spices, all of, you know, drink ginger tea, all these things can help enkindle your Agni and get rid of the ama. So we might start there. And then as people start to understand their Agni and have an experience of it, then we can start to go deeper into things like, so about all that raw food, about salad every day, about smoothies, there's this thing called food combining that we do in Ayurveda, and we'd love to introduce you to the concept of Viruddha, right? And so you can then use that basic concept of nourishment to access every single teaching on digestion, on Agni, on the types of Agni, on food combining, on seasonal eating. And the seasonal eating is then a great place to start to slowly introduce the gunas of the season. And then, lo and behold, those correspond to the gunas of the doshas. And so it gives us a really great doorway into all those concepts when the client's ready.
Great.
Does that make sense, Susan?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any other questions? Okay. I think before we draw this tonight's seminar to a close, I really want to thank Ms. Mona for her depth of knowledge and passion and the dedication. For those of you, just another little bit more introduction about her. She's a Nama-certified Ayurvedic practitioner, and she's also a Nama-recognized Ayurvedic yoga therapist. Thank you so much, Mona, for all your wealth of knowledge here that you've shared with us this evening. It was very insightful. And for anyone who wants to, who can earn one PACE credit after listening to the tonight's seminar, and you can by completing an online survey, And the document that Mona referred to, it's actually uploaded in the Ayurvedic seminars under the three pillars of health under today. So you just have to click here to download the handout if you want to view the handout as well. Thank you, each and every one of you. Thank you, Ms. Mona, again for the evening. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste, everyone.